Hope it off. Yeah, there you go. All right, Psalm 56 is where we're at tonight. Psalm 56. And I like these psalms that have a context to them. You can see the context where David writes this in his life. And this psalm, like most of them, has got a good, organized way of putting things. So Psalm 56, it's a psalm of fear and favor, and it is really, we'll see, it's David's, in David's life, he's been over to Gath, he's trying to hide from Saul. The Lord's already told David that if Saul finds you, he's going to kill you. And so he's on the run from Saul. Psalm 56, verse 1. And just notice at verse 4 and verse 10 and 11, you've got kind of a chorus there. Verse 4 says, "In God I will praise his words. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." And in verse 10, kind of the same thing. "In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." So it's kind of like the chorus of the song. Then you've got in between all that, you've got some verses. Verse 1 says this, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. For there they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." That's a good, good, memorable verse there. Verse 4, "In God will I praise, I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Let's pray, and we'll talk about this psalm of fear and favor here. Father, I thank you for these words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray we would learn tonight something about trusting you and watching David write this psalm and the circumstances of his life and how he came to trust you and why he trusted you, and just be encouraged by those things and be instructed by those things. Thank you for every soul that's here. I pray you bless each soul for being here, and Lord, just help us learn our Bibles, help us apply our Bibles. And again, thank you for providing for us and taking care of us the way you do. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so you see the psalm is organized by, you got a few verses, then you got kind of a chorus, verse 4, and you got a few more verses, you got another chorus, and then you got a few more verses. And it's another prayer that's sung by David. And, you know, it's, if your Bible has the title of all this, it should say when David was with the Philistines, or when the Philistines took him in Gath. And so I want to show you where that is in the Bible and put this back in context like we've been able to do some of these psalms. But really break this thing down into the three kind of divisions you've got with the verses in the psalm, and show you some things about fear and favor. David understood a couple things, and that was the basis of his trust And the reason he made some of the decisions he did in life, he understood, number one, that God had chosen him to be king. He also understood that if Saul found him, he would be dead. So you could say, well, if God chose him to be king, then he has to be king. You know, God had a choice who he wanted king, and Saul was actually going to do what he was going to do too. If Saul found David, he would just kill David. And David is warned of that by the Lord. And he's told, you know, if Saul finds you, he's going to kill you. And David's life, all through 1 Samuel, after he kills Goliath and starts working for Saul, his life is just an up and down. Man, it is so turbulent. And Saul, while he's alive, he just wants to kill David. And to give you the big picture of all this, David has... When this psalm describes where David is with the Philistines in Gath, David understands that Saul is not willing to go fight the Philistines. David's problem, though, is David's killed the Philistines' champion, and he's also just routed part of their army. And so if he goes and presents himself to the king in Gath to hide or to be sort of protected or anything like that, if he brings the men and the folks that are with him into Gath, on the one hand, he knows Saul's not willing to go there. But on the other hand, he knows, you know, he's not really on their good side either. So let me show you where this kind of lands in the Bible back in 1 Samuel. I'll show you 1 Samuel chapter 21. Look back over here. This is the first incident here with David going to Gath. I don't think this is where the psalm is written, but it provides some context. 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 10. First Samuel 21:10. This is the first time David ends up in Gath. First Samuel 21:10 says, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them. And he feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall on down upon his beard. Then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, ye see, the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of mad men, that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So the first time David encounters or ends up in Gath, he is afraid after killing Goliath, after fighting the Philistines. Now Saul's hunting him. And he ends up over here in Gath with King Achish, and he's scared. And so the best solution that he sees is, I'll just act crazy, and maybe they'll just give me a break. And so he acts crazy, he scratches the doors there, and he just kind of drooling on himself. And so when they bring David, this weird, crazy guy, in front of Achish, and he's doing all these weird things, Achish says, "Who is this guy? Like, get him away from me. I don't need crazy people here in the palace." And so David's plan works, but he does it because he's so afraid he'll die over here if he goes and heads back to Israel, back into Jerusalem and wherever Saul is. If he heads back over there, Saul's going to kill him. So this is the plan he comes up with. Now, this is the first time he's in Gath, and this is important, because the second time this happens, he doesn't approach the king in Gath the same way this time. And that's where you see the change. Look over in 1 Samuel chapter 27. That's why I think the psalm is written somewhere here before the second time he goes to Gath. 1 Samuel chapter 27. And verse 1. There's a lot of things that have happened between 1 Samuel 21 and now 1 Samuel 27. And David's approach to King Achish and the Philistines is completely different now. 1 Samuel 27, verse 1. David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. So the reason he's running from Saul is because he's already been told by God, if Saul catches you, you're dead. So he knows that much. So he knows he doesn't want to be around Saul. I don't know if he's not afraid of Saul, or he knows the outcome if Saul catches him. He knows because he's been given the outcome. So he says this, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. So David's going to go to the Philistines again because he knows Saul is unwilling to go fight the Philistines. But this time he's not going to act crazy. This time he has a totally different perspective and a totally different attitude about approaching the Philistines. Verse 2, David arose and he passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. So David's plan works. He goes to the Philistines, he goes to Gath, and he's not afraid of going there. He's just kind of, he's got to get away from Saul, but the time before he went to Gath, he was fearful of his life. And then now he enters Gath with some men, his wives, his family, and it's a totally different David now. Verse 5, and David said unto Achish, if I have now found grace in thine eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there, for why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with thee? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertaineth unto the kings of Judah unto this day, and the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. So, one time, I want you to see the change here. David goes to Gath, and he's scared to death to be there. The next time, something's changed in David. He knows he's got to get away from Saul, but this time he's going to go to Gath. He's going to go to the king. And he's not afraid of him. He's just kind of matter of fact about it. You know, just I need a place to hide from Saul, and Saul's not willing to come over here and fight you guys. So just give me a place. If you can give me a place, and so King Achish gives him Ziklag. And between those two events, I think you have this psalm written, where David has resolved in himself, I've got to get away from Saul. But I'm done being afraid of people now. I'm done fearing to act crazy when I'm around this king. I'm done worrying about this. The Lord has already said he wants me to be the king. And the only one that doesn't want me to be king or it is going to try to stop me really is Saul. And if Saul can't get his hands on me, these Philistines aren't going to kill me either. And so he enters into Gath, a totally different attitude, and I think that's where you get all these things in Psalm 56 where he says, I'm not going to be afraid of man anymore. I'm done running. The only reason really I'm running from Saul is because I know he's going to kill me. If he catches me, he's going to kill me, and that's not God's will or plan for Israel. God's plan is that I would be king, so I'm going to hide out here. So those are the two incidents or times where David is in Gath. Now let's go back over to Psalm 56 and put this thing into some context here, because I hope you can see his second approach is totally different from his first time he's in Gath. And I think this psalm tells the story of the difference. Psalm 56, verse 1. This is a psalm, like I said, of fear and favor. And the first few verses describe faith over fear. He says this in verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. For a man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high. But here's the contrast. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Now that's the attitude of David entering Gath the second time. I am no longer worried what this king is going to do. God's plan and purpose is that I would be king, and as long as I can stay away from Saul, that's going to happen. So he enters into Gath, talks to the king with this attitude: what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. And so that attitude now, that's a totally different attitude than the first time. But a few things to note in this first little part of this psalm. It's a prayer based on a promise. Remember, David understands he's supposed to be king. That's God's will for Israel. And based on that promise, David knows, number one, he's supposed to be king. Number two, if Saul can get him, Saul will kill him. But if he can stay away from Saul, he'll be king. These Philistines aren't going to kill him. They as much as that, some of them may want to kill him, some of them may remember what they did to their what he did to their champion, to Goliath, and the time he fought against him and all that stuff. Some of them may want to kill him, but that doesn't make any difference. God's already said, I want you to be king. These Philistines aren't gonna do you in. Saul may do you in, but these Philistines aren't gonna do it. And so David's attitude of encouragement and his faith and his confidence is based on the promise that God made to him. And that's where your attitude, that's where my attitude, that's where our faith lies in the promise of God. He has the right prayer for mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God. That's the right prayer. Notice the contrast of character here. You'll see the contrast of what man wants to do or may have designs to do versus God's plan and God's designs. You'll see that in a minute. But the prayer is based on a promise. His trust is based on the truth, what God had told him. And this is no fair weather trust. And you see that in verse 3. This isn't like, I trust to God when everything's going right. David says, a memorable verse, what time I'm afraid, that's when I trust you. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So it's not a fair weather trust based on good conditions. It's actually a trust based on bad conditions. When I'm scared, you know what? I think back to the promise. I think back to what you said, Lord. And all that fear will just disappear because I know what your plan is. I know what you've told me. A trust based on a truth. It is, you think of the times that make you afraid or make people afraid. Sometimes it's responsibility. Sometimes a new responsibility makes somebody afraid. Sometimes, you guys have heard my story multiple times, but you know, when the Lord called me to preach, and it was just, it was pretty clear that's what he was doing. I told you my story. I had failed public speaking twice in college. I don't speak in front of people. It's like Moses, you know. I can't talk to people, and it's almost like, okay, well, that's why I want you to do this, because I don't want you to have the glory. I'm going to do this. And so the call to preach and all that stuff was a very frightening thing. I mean, I remember preaching a few sermons in the beginning and, oh man, what a mess. But you know what? You do it. You exercise what God's trying to do. And over time, man, he just works that stuff out. And what is that? What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. So I could either live by fear and never get done what God wants done, or live in faith and let that be the decision to live in faith based on a promise, based on the words of God, and say, all right, Lord, you've said this, so all right, it's going to be up to you. I'll put myself in a position where you can do something, but I'm not going to be able to do this. Response, sometimes it's responsibility, sometimes it's affliction. I mean, sometimes the body starts to fail and, you know, you start getting fearful. Where's the money coming from? What the doctors don't know, you know, it's you know, you guys are more experienced with all that stuff than I am, but it is, you're more experienced because I don't really see doctors. But isn't it something when the doctor says, yeah, we've got all the test results, come back Monday. What? Can you just tell me? No, just come back Monday. Is it in front of you? Can you tell me what it is? No, you're going to talk to the doctor, come back Monday. Oh, man, so you're just like, your mind is just flooded with every terrible possibility. Oh, this means it's over. The end is coming now. So sometimes it's an affliction. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, for a saved soul, it is a tragedy when a person dies. But it is also a very comforting thing when a saved soul dies. You know where they're at. You know you'll see them again. And the end of the story is so much better than the middle and the beginning and all this stuff. The end of it is going to be so much better. And if there's no hope in this life, the doctors don't give you any more hope, done, we can't do anything else, put them in hospice, we're done. You know what, as a saved soul, you've still got hope. Because your hope isn't here. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. I know what you've said, Lord. I know the promises. I believe those, and based on those, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Maybe it's just anxiety or the future. Don't know what's going to happen. What's going on here? Don't know. Those are some times we're afraid, but with every fear, I'll say this, with every fear, there are some promises that address that fear. There are some things God's already said that will address every fear that enters in that flesh, and every fear that enters in your mind. Everything God has already set things in order if you will trust in Him. Yeah, the anxiety will come, the nervousness will come, the fears will come, but you have the opportunity with the words of God, the promises of God, to say, what time I'm afraid, I have something I can grab onto. I have something I can rest in. Faith over fear. David said this. He said at the end of verse 4, he says, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Which is pretty close to what was said by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 10. He says this, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, Ye are of more value than many sparrows. You know what David said? He said, I have a promise. God has given me his plan. He's told me what he wants to do. And based on that promise, based on his words, I am done running from the Philistine. I'm done worrying about what these men are going to do to me. I'm going to take the people that are with me. We're going to Gath. And we're going to hide out from Saul because, again, I know if Saul finds me, he's going to kill me. I've already been told that. But if I can get our folks to Gath, we'll stay there. Saul's not coming to Gath. He's not willing to. And we'll go there and we'll talk to King Achish and we'll see if there's a place for us. But I'm done acting crazy around him. I'm done trying to manipulate the situation. I'm done with the manipulation. I'm going to trust God and trust what he said and rest in that. Then he says this, verse 6, there's confidence from God's character. Verse 5, we'll look at verse 5. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Now notice a contrast. God's character is so much different than man's character. So here's man in verse 5. The man takes David's words and manipulates his words. I mean, it's just like what you see in news media, the sound bites and all that kind of stuff, what they were trying to do to Jesus Christ with trying to get him to say something or be put into a certain situation. They just wanted something wrong to come out of his mouth so they could use it against him. So David says, every day they rest my words. They take what I say and they twist it around and they say something else with it. And just, this is what people do. But here's what God does with my words. Look down in verse 9. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. So God doesn't take David's words and manipulate David's words. God listens to David's words and responds to David's words. A totally different character. Let me show it to you again in verse 6 and 8. Verse 6 says, they gather themselves together, they hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. So they're just like spotting him and watching where he goes and all that stuff. But watch what the Lord does. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? So while man is hunting David and watching him and seeking an opportunity to kill him, the Lord's on the other side, and the Bible says he tells his wanderings. He marks out where David goes, not to kill him, but to watch him and to listen to him and to hear his, to bottle up those tears and to write these things down in a book. So God's not after him to kill him. God's watching him and collecting the things that are valuable to him in his life and is after him for good. I hope you see the contrast in there. Man's marking David's steps to hunt him down. God's marking David's steps as a record for his good, so God can do something good in his life. He's not trying to hurt David, he's trying to help him. And David, and all I say all that to say this, you can find confidence in God's character. If you don't know the specific direction that you're supposed to be going, you can at least find confidence that God's character is of such a good nature. He isn't out to hurt you. He isn't trying to be mean to you. He is caring. He is gracious. And if you don't know the exact steps you're supposed to take next, at least you can find confidence that God said, like he said in Romans 8:28, he says, all things work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. He is not out to get you. His character is something you can put your trust in. Now, you think about other folks or sometimes There are some people, you could just think of some examples. Maybe you're an example, I'm an example. You can't put trust in someone's character like you can put trust in God's character. I may not know exactly what the next step is, but I do know God is good. David finds some confidence in the character of God. You notice that contrast. He talks about the way man views his steps and the way God views his steps, the way man views his words and the way God views his words. God bottles up those tears, David said. He's got a book that records those tears, and you've got the book. 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Psalms, that is the record of David's tears. We've read through many of these things, and you find them over and over. That's the record of his tears. David is just, in verse 9, he is fully confident that God will answer his prayer based on his promises and his character. In verse 9, he says, "When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." Why does he know God's for him? Well, he's had some promises from God. He's been acquainted with God. He spent some time with the Lord out and being a shepherd, and he knows the Lord. Then verse 10, "In God will I praise his word, and the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me." And then lastly, you got some power from God's promise. Verse 12, "Thy vows..." Now here's where David actually says what he's talking about with what, along the lines of all the things we've already said. Verse 12, "Thy vows are upon me, O God." You know what David knows? He's got some promises from God. He knows God has set some things out for him. And if he avoids Saul, these promises are going to come about here. "Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee." Now watch, this is a great practical truth here. "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" So here's what David says. "You've delivered my soul from death. Can't I at least trust a God to guide me in my day-to-day activities? If I can trust him with my soul, why would I not trust him with some daily leadership?" Here's the modern, I didn't say modern, but sometimes the expectation of Christianity, I'll pray a prayer, I got saved, and now let me go live my life. It's like, okay, I got this thing done, so now let me actually live life. And it's like God is only good when you die, then it kicks in, then I'm a Christian, and then I go to heaven, that's when God kicks in. But he's not really good for a day-to-day living situation. What David said is just the opposite of that. "Lord, I can trust you with my soul. I can surely trust you with my day-to-day decisions. I can absolutely trust you with your direction. If I can trust you with my eternal life, my eternal hope, surely this temporary life I can trust you with day-to-day steps. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" If you can trust him in death, you know you can trust him in life. If you can trust him with your soul, you know you can trust him with your family. If you can trust him with your eternal destination, you know you can trust him with day-to-day decisions you got to make. It is so just, it's, I don't know, contradictory to think, all right, I'm going to put my trust in Jesus Christ to give me eternal life, And then you get up from that prayer and say, all right, now I'm going to go live my life the way I need to live it. The way you were living your life led you to need a Savior. The way you lived your life was wrong. That's why you came to Jesus Christ. Now all of a sudden, you're going to get some fire insurance and then continue on living the way you were living. The way you were living led you to need help. Now that you think you've got that help, what would make you want to rise up out of that prayer, Lord, save me, okay, now I'm saved, back to living the way that made me need to be saved in the first place? David's view is right on this thing. Lord, you've delivered my soul from death. Wilt thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Lord, I can trust you in death. I can trust you with my eternal soul. I know I can trust you for some temporary things. I know I can trust you in some day-to-day matters. God, Paul says it this way. He says up in, I think it's in 2 Timothy. He says this. He says, godliness is profitable in all things. It's profitable for temporary things, and it's profitable for things to come. I didn't quote it right, but the first part of it is godliness is profitable in all things, meaning you don't need a Christianity that kicks in once you stop breathing. You need a Christianity that kicks in now and helps you guide your family, helps you with your job decisions, with your relationship decisions, with all those things, and how you're going to live out as an ambassador for Jesus Christ in Beeville and Kennedy and wherever you live. You don't need a Christianity. In fact, there is no such thing as a Christianity that begins after you take your last breath. The only Christianity in the Bible is a Christianity that's lived out in this life. And then the hope and the expectation and the joy and the looking forward to the future after this life and the trials of this life, all that stuff, that hope and all those promises and joy that you're looking forward to, God gives you those things to help you endure this present life. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you. He told those disciples, he said, if it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. Meaning, I'm telling you this so I can set something before your eyes and your mind to know what you're going to go through. That's not the end of this. And I need to help you get motivated to endure the hardness of this life. But this Christianity that kicks in once I finally breathe my last breath, or once I finally kick off here, that's not Christianity. You don't find anybody. We aren't reading anybody's books in the Bible of people who had a Christianity like that. You're reading books of the Bible and letters to other people as they were guided by the Holy Spirit of God, because they were living out in this life what they trusted God for their soul, they also trusted God for in their day-to-day lives. That's what David says. Lord, you have delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? The power from God's promise. You trust him in death, but you can't trust him in life? No, that's not biblical. If you can trust him in death, if you can trust him with your soul, you can trust him in life. Because your decisions led you to needing a Savior. Your life led you to the need you have now. Your decisions were bad, and that's why you needed a Savior. You don't need to turn right back around where you were going to begin with. You need to start trusting the one you've trusted your soul to. Power from God's promise. David understands it. He is guided by the promise of God, by the protection of God. And so he just rests himself in the words of God and says, all right, this is, I know what you've said, Lord. I trust you. Here we are. We're going to go to Gath. I'm taking my family. I'm taking these people with me. And we're going to hide out for a while. And I'm not worried about what these Philistines are going to do. They may all talk a good game. They may all want to kill me when we're there. I don't know. But Lord, you've said some things, and so I'm going to trust you with what you said. And I'm going to put it in your hands, and away we go. Put it in your hands, and we're going to trust you in this. So this is Psalm 56. It's a psalm, like I said, of some fear and favor. But really, you find out when David, like he said, what time I'm afraid I will trust in thee. You understand what David's trusting in now. It's not just a saying, what time I'm afraid I'll trust in thee. He has some bedrock promises and some truths that he's trusting God for. Lord, you've said this. I put my trust in it. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to let what you've said be my guide in this.